I'm preaching today from the scripture in Isaiah, but I want to speak a minute about this scripture in Acts. A pretty wonderful story, but short, about Peter and John going to Samaria. But remember about how Samaria and the Samaritans and the Jews were enemies of each other. They didn't trust each other. They didn't like each other. They didn't eat together. They didn't talk much. I mean, there was an animosity and enmity between them. But God had sent Philip down to Samaria, and Philip preached to them, and they came to believe in Jesus. They were baptized, but not through the power of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. So when Peter and John got there, they found that the folks in Samaria had not received the Holy Spirit, and so they prayed for them that they might receive that Holy Spirit. They laid their hands on them, and they did receive it. And I think that story, there are many other things about it, but one of the things it tells us is that when we don't trust another group of people, God may have a different plan, as God had a plan for the Samaritans and the Samaritan church, the church in Samaria. And the book of Acts, Luke's account in the book of Acts, lifts that up for us. So it's been told all these centuries about how the people of Samaria were not only Christians, but received the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. Wanted to lift that up. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, yesterday I went through a drive-through and ordered a sandwich. How many of you have done that? You've done that. Okay. All right. Well, it intrigues me when they ask your name for the order. Why do they do that? Can you give us your name for the order? Do you think it's to be more personal? Is that it? It's like when I go in the bank and they say, "Welcome to Wells Fargo." I don't want them to welcome me. I just want to endorse my check and deposit it. And if Burger King wanted to be personal, they shouldn't have to ask me my name, should they? I mean, if they're really personal, they should know my name, right? Besides, my name is Ginny, and Ginny is a rather tricky name. How about this, Ginny Howard? That's right. And you know what? One time I told a place like Starbucks or Panera that my name was Virginia. They never called me. I finally went up and said, "Where's my lunch?" And they said, "Are you Regina?" Regina, go figure. And with Jenny, it becomes Jenny, or Jimmy, or Junie. I mean, it just doesn't turn out to be Jenny. So I tell them my name is Jane. And sometimes I say my name is Alice. And I always worry a little bit about whether I'll remember what name I said I was. But it's easier than being called the wrong thing, Regina. So I guess it really isn't such a personal experience after all for them to know my first name. In this passage in Isaiah 43, God says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God knows me by name. Now that's personal. God knows you by name. That's personal. After all, God made us. God knows us inside and out, and God loves us. God loves me. God loves you. Do you doubt that? Well, if you read on in this passage, in verse 4, God says, "You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." There it is, right there in Isaiah. I can't tell you how uplifted that makes me feel, and I hope it makes you feel lifted up too. To be precious in someone's sight and honored and loved, that's really special. It's really special. It's the message we want to give our children and grandchildren and our spouses and our beloved ones, our parents, that they are precious to us. So, especially related to God, if it's God who loves us, who knows our flaws, our blemishes, but still considers us precious, that's amazing. Well, today is the Sunday called the Baptism of the Lord, and the gospel lessons, which we did not actually read today, are the stories of Jesus being baptized. So I'm going to give you a quiz now. Here's the time for your quiz for today. Raise your hand if you know the answer. Who baptized Jesus? John what? John the Baptist. I call him J-Bap. Okay, this is harder. Raise your hand if you know the answer to this. Where was Jesus baptized? In a river? How many of you have been to that river? Some of you have been to that river, the Jordan River, right? Right. It's not in Scotland, though. Oh, yeah? Wow. All right, here's one more question. What special thing happened or showed up when Jesus was baptized? Do you remember the answer to that? A dove came down, didn't it? Came down. Lots of times when you see a symbol of the dove, is there one back there? It is what we call a descending dove. There it is. It's the dove coming down and lighting on Jesus' head. And God says at that point, I love you. With you, I am well pleased. Well, that's the end of the quiz. How'd you do? Pretty good? All right. On the Sunday that we remember Jesus' baptism, we also remember, or try to remember, our own baptisms. If you were too young to actually remember it, then I invite you to stop and think about the fact that you were baptized and what that means, what it feels like to you to be baptized. Do you remember that during baptism, or do you know that during baptism, the preacher typically asks your name or the name of the child and then calls your name in the baptism? You knew that. Okay, did you know that that name is considered and called your Christian name? So your Christian name is the name by which you were baptized. So it was my grandfather who baptized me at 4 months of age on Christmas Eve. Virginia, he said, because I don't have a middle name. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. My daughter, when Seth was little, Rachel was seven. And Seth had learned to crawl. She was seven. He would crawl into the bathroom where she was having a bath, and she would reach over and put water on his head and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There you go. So here's what I want you to do. I want you, each one of you, to think of your name. Think your first and middle name, if you were lucky enough to have one. I was cheated, but maybe you weren't. You got that? You got your name, first and middle name? Okay. Now, on the count of three, I'm going to want you to say your name out loud, your first and your middle name, and then I want you to listen to what I say. So your job is to say your name and then listen. You got it? Say your name and then listen. Ready? Don't yell your name. Just say it. Okay? Got your instructions? One, two, three. Virginia. You have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's do that again. Say your name and listen. One, two, three. Virginia. You have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How does that feel? I think it feels good. maybe even great. You remember that story about Martin Luther, who used to put his hand on his head in the mornings and say, "I have been baptized." That's how he started his day. "I have been baptized." By the way, if you have never been baptized, you might want to talk with me about that, and we can think about what it might mean to you. Here in Isaiah, God has said, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Whether you have been baptized or not, God knows your name. God knows who you are. God knows your strengths and your weaknesses, your greatest hopes and your deepest fears. God has a plan for your life, a job for you to do. And it's not about being a church member. It's not about what you believe. It's not about what you think. It's not about how perfect you are. Because guess what? We're not. It's about belonging to God, this God who says, "You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." That's pretty special. You are precious in God's eyes. God loves every cell of your body. So, take a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. The person that breath is going down into is precious to God. You are loved by God. You are honored by God. How wonderful that is. You are precious. Well, I had some fun putting my grandson Carter's artwork in the newsletter. If you haven't read it, you can read it. He's my youngest grandson. But I have an older grandson, Noah. In fact, I have four grandsons. But my oldest grandson, Noah, is getting ready to start the confirmation class at his church up in Decatur, Georgia. Do you know what confirmation is? Let me see some nods. Maybe. When I was a kid, we didn't call it confirmation. We called it joining the church. It's kind of what that is. But confirmation is when a young person, maybe a teenager, who may have been baptized as a baby, and some adults, maybe parents or grandparents, made promises and commitments on that child's behalf, and now as a teenager, that young person gets to speak up for himself or herself. To answer the question, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" To confirm the promises that were made for him or her when they were too young to do it themselves. That's what confirmation is, confirming the promises someone else made in your behalf. Well, apparently for confirmation, my grandson Noah will have to interview some Christian adult, some adult that has the Christian faith, and he's decided to interview me. Well, that sounds like an honor, except it turns out I have homework to do. He's going to ask me questions about my faith journey. Think about your faith journey for a minute. What journey have you been on? What, you're still on it. What faith journey are you on? Well, I have a form to fill out, and if you want a copy of the form, I'll get you one, then you can really explore your faith journey. It's called Adult Faith Interview Chart. Good grief. The chart asks me to think through my life and think about milestone events in my faith journey, to think also about the people who have been important in my faith journey, and what was going on in the world, how that might have affected me on my faith journey. Now, that's kind of interesting. Think about that. How would you answer those questions? What have been the milestones in your faith journey so far? I spent some days thinking about that. I think I ended up with 7 pages. Because it's a chart, right? I had to follow the chart. But what I mostly wanted to share with you and with Noah, when I get my chance with this interview, is a rather complicated thing, but you'll get it because you all are so smart. You passed the quiz anyway. When I was a teenager, about Noah's age, say 13 or 14, 12, 13, 14, I spent a lot of time worrying about whether I really wanted to be a Christian, whether I wanted to give my life over to Jesus, whether I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart. It seemed like, and maybe I'd been told, it was a big decision, a big moment in my life, and I spent just lots of time thinking about it. I thought about those questions and others over and over again, probably for a year or two. I remember at times being at church camp when we were sent out for what they called morning watch. That was a private devotional time. You were sent off to some safe place to pray and think, or maybe even take your Bible and think about God and God's love. So I would sit down by the lake or up under a tree, and I would look up at the clouds, and I would offer God a deal. I would say, God, if those two clouds touch each other in the next 2 minutes, I'll know you want me to give my life to you. Right? Or I might suggest, God, if I hear a boat on the lake, I'll know you want me to give my life to you. It was silly, I know. It was like Gideon and the fleece. Maybe you already know that story. If not, look in the book of Judges in the Old Testament of the Bible, chapter 6. It's an interesting story. So here's what I'm going to tell Noah when we talk, and here's what I wanted to share with you. One of those days when I was a teenager, when I sat down to think and worry about whether I wanted to be a Christian, because I'd gotten used to doing that, so I sat down to do it, whether I wanted to give my life to Jesus, I suddenly realized, it suddenly became plain to me that I already did belong to Jesus. I didn't have to do anything. It washed through me like a wave at the beach, or like a flash of light, or a burst of joyous laughter. It was just like what this passage says. The one who created you, Jenny, the one who gave you shape, that one says, do not fear, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name. Jenny, you are mine. I didn't have to do a thing. I belong to God. That was such a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful thing to know that I am precious, that you are precious in God's sight, that God loves us, that when I face trouble, God is with me. When you have a challenging time in your life, God is with you. And God promises us that. When it's in Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. That doesn't mean that we won't face trouble, because there's plenty of trouble in life. There are floods and fires, and they're mean people, and there are things we hope for that don't work out the way we hoped. There are things we fail at that we tried really hard about. There are times when we get sick, or we get hurt, or we suffer real pain. But God has promised to be with us. God has promised that we will never be alone. And that's what I hang on to. That's what gives me peace. It centers me. It is who I am. It can be who you are. And we can be grateful. Let us pray. Oh, thank you, God, for calling our names, for knowing our names, for knowing who we are and what makes us unique and special. We are grateful We trust you. We know that when we have needs, we can count on you to be with us. When the journey is hard, we are not alone. I give myself to you today, Lord. I give you this church and each person here, that each of us on our faith journey may come to know you better and to recognize how wonderful it is that we are precious in your sight, that you love us. In Christ we pray. Amen.